Shalom Yisrael.
We do greet you in the mighty name of Yahweh, in the precious Tikvah, the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Yisrael. Here's a dynamic message of Torah teaching and revelation of the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. May your heart delight in this truth in Yahshua's mighty name.
Yisrael cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, it is important to have the Ruach of Yah to hear this day. Shalom unto you. Yah Barak Yo, you may be seated. For he has given us the blessed assurance, and our assurance is in the revelation of his imat, his truth, his order, his mishrah, his government, to bring man to a place whereby he can truly, as we express, worship sharah, worship him in the power of his ruach, his truth, his spirit, and in truth. And so he brings us, Yisrael, to this occasion, that we must hear what he commands us and speaks unto us. This is a generation that their hearing has become dull. They do not like to listen. They have no time to hear what Yah speaks. But they can hear every kind of vile, corrupt thing that flow from their bellies and cause them to have disdain or disregards for the word of Yah. They will not consider what he has commanded us, but they go about orchestrating or developing their own path, and it leads them to the gutters of hell. Their minds are hellish, their thoughts, they're weak, they have not the strength of Yahshua, for they have eaten off the table of Shaitan, and they become less effective. They are ineffective. And so that's what we have today in these whorehouses today. They're houses of whoredom, because the worship is one of idolatry. It is idolatrous. And when we find that Yah, when he uses the word in scripture, whoredom, whorish, fornication, adulterous and adulteress, he is dealing with a form of idolatry. I will speak to you today, Yisrael, and I will tell you what idolatry is. We may think that it is bowing down to a bull or some imminent place. It is any time the mind is removed away from the Torah, the Mishrah, of Yah's way that leads unto his pathway. So any time that your mind is not developed and shaped by what Yah commands you, it is a form of idolatry. And that is what is taking place in the midst of this pagan cauldron of whoredom, what we call Christianity and religion, because it defies the instructions of Almighty Yah. And within the motivation of the love of you being self-motivated, it is that spirit that flows from the gutterness of your own guts, the god of your belly, that calls you to forsake the right way, and you go after the way of Bezorah, of Balaam, for the rewards of your own corrupt flesh. And the rewards are temporal, for they shall not last. For the word of Yah tells me that, and I believe that. Why do you believe it? I believe this. Let Yahweh be truth, imat. And let every man be a liar. And if a man speaks not from the principles of his truth, he is a liar. He has not the ruach of Yah. So he must speak from the chronicle of the pages of the book. He must speak from that. And his words cannot be words of flattery, superficial, to entertain your flesh. But they must cut and they must pierce. It must draw out every corrupt thing, the dross, that it may surface, that you may see your own filthiness. We have the ability to see others' filthiness, don't we? We all do that well. Do you think that Yah considered any one of us in here any better than the other? Or are those any better? That's why what Scripture says, be slow to answer and quick to speak. Hallelujah. Are there those that are better than others? Does the book express that? Sure it does. Yes, it does. And that's a fact. I want to continue. We will get to that. The reason we don't know things, if we truly had the full context of the scroll, it were probably a book this thick. That thick. Maybe. I would think probably from the floor here. That is why when Shaul says to Timothy, study. Study. He knew that the power of that impartation of that truth of Yah is not going to come with a few minutes of reading. It must be developed by a devotion at a time that you allow nothing to circumvent that time. Not will, family, friends, or foes. Nothing. So he commanded unto the young man Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto Yah as a workman. The summertime will exhibit a form of workman around here this year, more so in the years of past. And in the summertime, a workman, his day is never finished. Even when he goes home to rest, his day is not done. Because his mind is immediately on the things that were left unfinished. And the thing that when he finished that portion, he has to go back and revisit the thing that he has done previous to that. And that is why there must be a mind that studies the word of Yah. We are ignorant because we lack the benign, the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. And yet we all think we know, do we not? That's why Yah ordained in his house elements, order, that they will bring us to the perfect understanding of Torah. And we need every aspect of that operating in his bayat today. I want to continue from last week. It is one thing that as I began a message, and I see much that I lacked in the previous one, because I will go back and revisit. And that will be a constant. I will always miss a lot of things that are pertinent and relevant to our growth. But it behooves you to go back and to make sure that the things are accurate. Because you are sluggish and slothful. This is a sluggish generation. It's one that is slothful. Elder Bynum said to me, Pastor Roberts, I couldn't understand why you would always say this is a wicked generation. And he said to me yesterday as we talk, I'm beginning to understand why. A generation, a people that defies the Torah of Yahweh is a wicked people. Their minds are being captivated by the father of their birth, which is Shatan. And they are not birthed by the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah. This is a vile, indignant generation. It despises the commands, the instructions of Almighty Yahweh. And there's Iokahan sitting there on the Isle of Patmos. And Yah began to move him into this profound revelation of Yahshua, the true identity of his power, and what he shall reveal unto the assemblies, whereby the Ruach of the Spirit of Yah was in the midst. Because they came to Sharrah to worship Yah in the power of the Torah, and they received the witness of the revelation of Yahshua the Lamb. And they knew that the witness was true, and it was right. And he says unto him, as he said unto the Melech, Yokahan says in Giliana Revelation, chapter 14, verse 6. He says, and I spiritually saw another Melech fly in the midst of Hashemayim, the heavens. And he said that this one, having the everlasting, the Olim, the everlasting message to Kara, to preach, to declare unto the assemblies of Israel the expectations of Almighty Yahweh. He says, not only to them, but to them that dwell in the Olim, in the earth. And he did not say just to Israel. He said to every nation. Because the remnant of the seed of Israel, they are scattered abroad into every nation. And they speak every kind of dialect and every kind of tongue it is. He said to every kindred, because they have intermingled against the will of Yah, they have gone and joined themselves unto strangers of the commonwealth of Israel, and they have produced kindreds and those of other tongues that were not of the birthright seed of Ephraim. That's why he commanded them, do not go and join yourselves unto strange women and strange men. More or less, strange women. Do not do that. Because if you do that, you're going to begin to pollute my house. How can he say that? Because he is all sovereign. He is not going to allow anyone to exalt themselves to the pinnacle he is. That is why this damnable thing we call Christianity. You see, everyone wants to have their own mind. Everyone wants to have their own path and their own direction. That is why Yah says when Adam and Shavah sinned, he cast them out. For they cannot live in the spiritual realm that he lived in, because they were eaten from the tree of life. And he will not allow them to abide there in the midst of his fellowship face to face. And so what this vile, wicked thing tells people today, well, you are gods. And that's what the God of this world said, I will exalt myself above the Almighty One. And you're not going to be exalted like him. That's why there are things that pertain unto him. He said, don't mess with vengeance. He said, my jealousy is like no other jealousy. That trash you call jealousy is not even jealousy. Wrath, his anger. For your anger works not the Shadika of Yah. And so there are things that he said, they're mine. They're mine. And you will not interfere with these things that I have set apart for me personally that I shall deal with. Your mind is too small to even understand. You don't even have the breath in you to even realize what I'm doing. What is man? That he would even be mindful of a flesh pot of stench, putrefied with every kind of vile odor. What is man that he would even consider him, that he would be mindful of him? And so this message must be declared to all nations, to all kindreds, and to all people. And it begins with the Yareh, or the fear of Yah. It also exudes the honor of the Kabod of Almighty Yah. Why? Because the hour, or his hour, or mishpat, or judgment, has come. And we must shahar Yah. Because he made the Shemayams, he made the Olam, he made the sea and the fountains of the water. We must bestow upon him this copious honor. It is great. It is beyond expressions. It is beyond verbalizing. And the way we do that is obeying all that He commands. You don't honor Him when the light of truth shines forth and you disregard that. You are a liar. When Yah speaks to you, you parents, can I ask you all something? You raised children, did you not? When you told them or commanded them to do something, was there some other alternative for that, or you meant what you said? You meant that. Did they cause you to become perturbed, angry when they went some other direction? You meant what you said. And for some reason we think that we call Yahweh a liar. He said, let me be true. Do you all hear that? He said, I want to be true and let everyone else be a liar. I don't care what emotional adjustments they make to try to alter what I say. He said, let them be a liar. But let me be the truth. Let what I say resonate from you. Let the witness of Yahshua resonate from you. And you will know that you are Hava, you love me, because you do all that I command you. We are liars. When we understand the simplicity of truth, we don't obey that and we say we love Him. You are a flat out liar. You are of your father the devil. He did not abide in Emet in the Torah from the beginning. He knows not the truth. And you do not walk in the truth as well. Did Yahshua command us that we must live by some of the words? How many? How many? You Jezebels, you don't have to open your mouth. He said, how many words? Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yah. How do I find it? You must go back to the Bereshit. You must go back to the Genesis of all things. And for us to say, when we hear the words, He commands you not to harden your wicked heart, as in the days that they provoked at Him. So we harden ourselves, don't we? Oh, you tell me you don't get hardened against the word of Yah? You don't get hardened at correction when Yah speaks to you? This is a generation of imposters. They're not brutally honest. They're so false. You can look at them and tell the falseness of the expression. That's why Yahshua had to ordain men to stand over the heritage of Almighty Yahweh. He had to. He had to. He had to do it that way. Because if He had none of it would be a mess. How do you know? Look at the mess you are. That's a mess, isn't it? That speaks for itself, doesn't it? Sure it does. He said, so this bizorach, this message, shall be declared unto all nations and tongues. You shall declare unto them this power of the Yareh, the fear of Yah. And they shall know how to kabod Yah, to honor Him. Copious, with great, great abundance. As their mouth speaks, as a loud ring of the songs of His great healing power, how they honor Him. We don't even know how to do that, Israel. I began to search last week. I know I go here and there, I do that. I began to look at things what Yah commands Israel to do when they come before Him. You see, my mind thinks like that. Because I want to know what I do when I come before Him. Is the book precise on that? As precise as it can be. Is it forthright on that? As forthright as one could ever comprehend. The reason we don't know, because there is not a burning ahava, a love for the revelation of truth. Our hearts do not pant after the word of Yah as a deer pants for the water brook. The brothers that hunt, they can tell you it's one thing that a deer will do when they understand even in dry season. They have the ability, their senses are very much keener than human beings. And they can come to a spot and they know that there's water there. And what they will do, they will begin to take a hoof and they begin to dig down until they can find the trickle of the flow of water. We as a nation and a people, we don't dig down in the depths of the corruption of this fleshly heart. to find that flow of polluted water and that stream that flow from the gutterness of our wickedness. You don't have to say hallelujah. You don't have to say oh man. But this is what fills me to cause me to press on to the higher depths. You understand, I like to go higher. Sure I do. I like to walk on the high grounds. Because on the high grounds you can see everything below. Nothing passes your observation. Nothing at all. Can I share this with you? There is a young autistic boy of the day I was reading. They took him to Rome. And he flew over Rome. Do y'all hear me? He flew over the city of Rome. He drew the city precisely, even to columns of the buildings, on the Colosseum, everything. He drew it precisely. Every building, every tree, every single thing in that city. He flew him over and he drew it precisely. Now, to understand that an autistic, a mental, twisted mind can do that, that if we had the true mind of HaMashiach, then we could retain the word of Yah, because the minds we have, they are corrupt. The reason they are corrupt, because they will not be governed by the Mishra of Yah. We will not hear what the Ruach says. Oh, I'm not impressed with the boy's drawing and what he drew. I know that the mind of HaMashiach is greater than that. And this is a mind that is twisted. That the young lad cannot even think that even the expressions on his face are torted or twisted. And it's the same thing in Israel, that we are a twisted people. We twist, we wrestle, we twist the scripture. And we try to conform them to our own lying, deceitful ways to say that we can justify our own damnable, wicked thoughts. It cannot work that way. And it will not work. And Yah is not going to allow it. And that's why there are men that are better than other men. And there are daughters of Zion that are better than others. Does the book say that you will? I will get to that. Whether you buy it or not, it makes no difference at all. First of all, you don't study enough to know it. You don't know what the book says because it doesn't please you. We're angry because we cannot hear what the Ruach speaks unto Israel. His people are destroyed because they have much knowledge. When something is lacking, then you know that it is not healthy. Is that not right? If your body is lacking certain nutrients, is it the most healthiest body? No, it's not. It doesn't perform well. It doesn't respond well. Your mind doesn't think well. This mess of cholesterol, all this fat tissue, this glob of mess here, but yet Yah imparted something in it. He made it think. He calls it to gravitate to Him. That's all it is. Hallelujah. And the fat. And yet it thinks. Yet it can talk with Him and to Him. Hallelujah. But it must be governed by Him. Must be governed by Him. If it's not governed by Him, then we're going to go the way of darkness. Because everything that will come out of you will be dark. When you defy the Torah and the teachings of Yah without any thoughts of impunity, you are wicked. And this is a generation that does that. They justify their own wickedness. Woe unto them, they call Tav evil and evil Tav. They put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. They say to the wicked, you are blessed. And they say to the righteous, to hell with you. That's a wicked, twisted mindset. I was telling Elder Martin this morning that we had, when I was with Evangelist Hartsfield, he was a strong man. We had a brother there that his wife, she kind of ruled him. And he said to me, Pastor Robert, he said, Brother Robert, I'm going to put him out. Because that kind of spirit among the fellowship, I will show you that as well in the book. That's why your wives, you honor your husband, you kabod. Kabod. And you husbands, you love them. Well, how do you become that lovable wife that he can love you like the assembly? That you abide in the principles of Yah. So she ruled over him, and he would say things that she would say. And he would come to me and say, Brother Roberts, I'm troubled by him. And the matter of fact, I'm going to put him out. I don't even want him to testify. I don't want him to say nothing because that spirit corrupts many. Well, I don't believe that. Let us go to the book. That's why the everlasting, the Ule message must be preached, brothers and sisters. It has to be declared. Because Yah is going to rid out everything that is not of him. He's going to take it out. Everything that offends him. It says in Gilead, Revelation, chapter 14, verse 8. Now, I want to deal with the aspect of the Mishpatim of Yah, but I want to point something out here. Revelation 14, 8. As Yochanan began to see the downfall of Babylon, or Babel, we must understand that the word Babel, Babylon, it means the gateway to the gods. Now, I understand that when Nimrod began to build the tower, we have this revelation or this meaning being the confusion. But it was the gateway to the gods. It was the pathway that leads to the gods. Is this a nation that leads to the gods? Does this nation, is this the way to the gods? It is to the gods of greed and lust and rebelliousness. It is to the gods of dishonor and self-worth and self-gratification, is it not? And so we can understand that that is complicit. Babel, Babylon, the meaning sounds, it sounds as though that there's an attachment there. To me it does. So it's the gateway or the way to the God. It is the gateway to the God. And so as Yah began to reveal unto Yochanan, there's a judgment that shall come upon Babel. He speaks in the 8th verse. He says, and there followed another Melech, saying, Babylon, Babel, is falling. She is fallen, it calls her a great city. Why? Now this is what I do want to express today. And then I will get back to the judgment of Babylon on next Shabbat. She has fallen. Listen, my brothers and sisters. This is profound what I'm about to read to you. Because she made some nations, she made all nations. She made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her Zalna, her fornication, her idolatrous worship, her vile, abominable, idolatrous worship that defies the worship of Almighty Yah. Now that is what that fornicating spirit does. It causes one to be turned away from Yah's principles. She calls all nations. And I will show you how mothers cause daughters, Avats cause sons and homes to be moved away from the power of the legitimacy of the truth of Yah. And not only are they brought under the curse of that, but their children, their sons and daughters will never produce the fruit of Yah. Yah's not playing. He is not. That's what Israel did. She opened her drawer legs to every kind of strange god, and every god went up in her. There are women that do that today. Every man they meet, they will lay down in bed. It is a metaphor of the symptom of today. That's why the women are whorish and babies dropping out like dogs. I don't take one word back. Because their mammies and their mammy mammies went that way. Hallelujah. Only if Yah has a seed. Hallelujah. I bless him for bringing me out of what he brought me up in. He had his hands on me. Before I ever formed in my mother's womb, he birthed me. He caused a Norby to get naked, did he not? And walk before the people. And they look in the yes, Kelly say, what a fool. It was their own filthiness of their nakedness. The shame of their defiance of Yah. The filthiness. And that's why daughters of Zion, you true daughters. Everyone is not a daughter. You do what Yah commands you. that you may bring your sons and daughters up in the fear, the yare of Yah, that their minds will be stable and sound. I can only show you what's in the book. You can get upset all you want to, but it's still factual. It is still actual. You don't have to like it because that's you. And you have defied that. But it's in the book. And I will not alter one thing at all for any one of us in here. I want to begin in 2 Chronicles, 2 Dibri HaYaim. 2 Chronicles, chapter 21 and verse 4. I need to lay down a little something here that you may understand this wrath of the fornication that the nations from Babel have been caused to drink. That's why I said to us other morning, y'all must have strong men in the midst of the congregation. If a man is going to be around me, he's going to be strong. I don't want no weak, effeminate man around me. I like strong men. I like men. I want a man around me. Not a weak, effeminate man. So if he hangs around me, he's going to be strong. He's going to have the fortitude of Yahshua HaMashiach. But this is what it says. I want to show you something here as I take you along. 2 Chronicles in chapter 21, verse 4. Now, what this is dealing with, is dealing with one by the name of Jehoram, or we will say Jehoram. And he was the king of Israel. Now, I don't want to read all the scriptures, so I want to give you a little history on this. Now, he was the king himself of Yehuda for some period of time, about 18 years. The number is there, but he was a king of Yehuda. Now, chapter 21, verse 4, I'm not going to read all the verses. And his wife, her name was Athaliah. And she was a wicked Jezebel. She was a wicked woman. How do I know that? I will show you where her seed line began, where her birth came out of, and you will understand the wickedness that was created in him, that he defied the Torah of Yah. Now let me read. That's why the message of this truth must be declared. First of all, Yareh. If a man doesn't Yareh Yah, he's a weak thing. If a woman doesn't Yareh Yah for him, she's not even a Jezebel. Sister Hunter's her daughter. And so, the daughter has been going to the internet and listen to the broadcast. She says to her mother, I've been listening to Pastor Robert. She's been listening for a period of time. Well, they know she say that, but it's like, okay. And she says to her mother, I want to write Pastor Roberts, but I'm afraid. I want to see him, but I'm afraid to see him. So she tells her, well, write him on the internet. Email him. She says, Mama, if I'm afraid to write him a letter, you know I'm afraid to write him email. So I tell Sister Roberts, you tell her to tell the daughter, come see me. And I will intrigue her. Because what does she fear? For the fear of the word of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. When a man doesn't fear what Yah says, he's a weak thing. When a woman doesn't fear what Yah says, they're devilish. And they are hellish. The fear of Yah. The fear. What she fears is not me personally as a man. Come on. Women will, come on, they will rise up in the strength of the femininity. She fears the words that come out of the mouth of this man. They're fearful. They identifies her. They shows her things about her that causes her to fear the impending judgment of the one that has the power to judge. And I speak it not as some weak man, but I speak it with every fiber of strength that I can muster. That's why I talk loud, and I'm going to talk loud until I die. I'm going to go off. I'm going to abuse you because you abuse Yah. When you understand what the abuse is like, you'll stop abusing. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 21:4. Now his wife was wicked, and the instigator, It says in 21:4, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his avat. Look at this. It says, now this is what the coward did. He strengthened himself and he slew some of his brothers. He slew all of his brothers with the sword, did he not? He slew all his brothers with the sword and others also, princes of Israel, of Yehuda. So everyone that he thought that would show him his weakness, he slew them. He killed them. He slew every one of his brothers. He destroyed them. Verse 6, I will move down because I have much today. And scripture says, and he walked in the way, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Like as did the house of Ahab, who was more wicked than Ahab. It was not a house like his house. The generation that are produced are more wicked than the one before them. He said, walked in the ways of Ahab, for he had the daughters of Ahab to wife. And he worked that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Now, if you marry a Jezebel, what do you think you're going to produce? What do you think is coming forth? What do you think that Ahab, how do you think he raised them? You think he raised them in the virtues of Yah? He raised them in every defiance it was of the Torah of Yah. And they defied the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. So he was betrothed, he was married to those, and he did that, he worked that which was evil at the sight of Almighty Yahweh. Verse 11, it says, moreover, he made idol temples in the mountains of Yehuda, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit zanah, fornication, and he caused Yehuda to be led astray. Now, do you understand what he did? He caused them. He compelled them. He coerced them. Well, how could he do that? Well, when a nation has turned its sights away from the Most High, it doesn't take much to compel them. When one is not governed by the Mishnah or the Torah of Yah, when one's mind is not governed by the Torah of Yah, it did not take much for him to persuade them to begin this idolatrous, fornicating thing that produced whoredom in the land. And that is what has happened today. There's a foul nature in the land today. Man cannot adhere to the Torah of Yah. So they have joined themselves every kind of strange Jezebelite spirit it is. Where are the men? Tell me. You can't find them. It's sad. No men to be found. That's why a man in this day is more precious than the gold of Ophrah. Do you all hear that? I know you don't hear it. I hear what I'm saying. There's nothing more precious in this hour than a man, that he may stand in the strength of Yah and declare from the mountaintop what thus saith Yahweh Almighty. So he joined himself unto daughters, women that were polluted. And he began to do that which is wicked and evil. He caused the high places to be built. And we have our high places, don't we? We build our own high places. High-minded, the air in our own arrogance and our haughtiness to defy what Yah says. That's the high-mindedness. That's the high-mindedness. Can I tell you something? Does Yah mean what he says when he says, kabod, to honor him, to be your honor to be copious? Does he mean what he says when he says, wife, honor your husband? Does he mean what he says? He says, honor them that have rule over him. He means what he says. For they watch. For they watch for your soul and they must give an account. I don't care what this wicked generation says. You know, it's one thing about Yah. He says, my mind is my mind. He wants us to understand that nothing is going to deter his thoughts or the way he does things. Makes no difference whether you're with him or against him. It makes no difference at all. And so we built our high eminent places. Well, I just believe that with Jezebel, it doesn't make it right. Fool, that doesn't make it right. You think you're better? No, Yah says I'm better than you. It's not what I think, it's what Yah says. The man that repenteth and other men. The women that repenteth. I don't believe that lies. Hallelujah. Let me move to the 12th verse. I know you don't know because you don't study the book. If Yah says it in the book, is it truth? Okay then. Hallelujah. It says in verse 12, and there came a writing to him from Eliah, the Novi, the mighty man of Yah, saying, this is what Yahweh says unto you, my friend. He says unto you, Yehoram, the sovereign one, the ruler of thy wheat, your avat. He said, because you have walked in my ways, because you have not walked in my ways, you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your avat, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Yehuda. But he did walk in the way of Ahab, did he not? He had not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, who tore down the altars of Baal, who eradicated that spirit out of the house of Yah. This is the generation that builds the idols of lords in their minds because they lord. They say, no one is going to lord me. Listen, any time that you go past the Torah of Yah, you don't have enough fear of what Yah teaches. You are a lord, and you are lord of your life. You're sent to hell with what Yah says. I'm the master of my destiny. You're a fool. You have one destiny, and that is hell. For the wicked shall do wickedly and shall not understand. But a Sadiq man, he understands both time and he understands the judgment of Yah. That's why, listen, my friends, you pray if nothing else, Yah, make sure that there is a Sadiq, a righteous man among us. If there's no one but you, make sure that. Because a righteous, he discerns time. A righteous man, he understands the judgment of Almighty Yah. This fool, did he understand the judgment of Yah? You think his wife understood the judgment of Yah? They were steeped in their Baal worship, in their own self-gratification. I don't like to use that word toward Yah, but they were gratified with their own putrefied stench. Their bellies were filled with their own idolatrous and their own the fornication. We must be pure to the pure. All things are pure. The word of Yah is pure to those that love Yah. Those that are unbelieving and defiled don't believe Yah. There's nothing pure. They were trying to give a reason for everything. There's no reason. Hallelujah. I'm not going to sin because you sin. You do something wicked, I'm not going to do it. You can be the fool all you want to. I'm not going to do it because you do it. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to sympathize with you either. Yahweh's not mocked. I'm not going to mock Yah. But if a man sow it, he reap it. You sow hell, you're going to reap it. You sow wicked, Yah, you're going to reap that. I'm not going to mock Yah. But if a man sow it, that's how he also reap. So what you've sown, you're going to reap it. I said to you, mother, sow the Ruach, the Torah of Yah in the hearts of your children. When do I start? Now. They can't talk, sow it now. The ground out there, you cannot sow summer seeds in there, but it's plowed, isn't it? And there's seeds that we can sow now. And they will prepare the ground for the summer seeds. They will add to the soil certain kinds of nematodes, or certain kinds of additive measures to the soil. So now, so the summertime you plowed in, you eat that, you plowed in. It adds to the soil. So you sow it now. And then the plow of correction plows it in. That little thing you call the rod, it puts it in them right. Hallelujah. Because that is what drives foolishness out. And Yah's going to rule with us. He's not going to rule with a rod, is he? We are fools that think he's going to rule any other way. Rod of iron. Because some of us need that, don't we? Fools. Oh, foolish Galusia. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish this today. That's all right. Hallelujah. I have the sword of the Ruach. I have it in my hand. Not only in my hand, but I have it in my inward parts. Hallelujah. I have it there. He says, when the Novi 21:12 came to him, he sent him a word unto him, because he had not walked in the ways of the men that were strong. I've always said to us, when I've seen men that had the strength of Yah, I wanted to follow their steps, even though I was ignorant. When I found a strong man, I want to be like that strong man. I want to walk in his ways. How did he get strong? How did he began to mature and he maturated to that point? This ignorant generation, it takes offense of that. A weak man will always take offense of one that is stronger. That's just the truth. A weak woman will always be offended at one that has a beauty that she doesn't possess. You all can sit here and not agree with me. It's just the truth. I see that in the natural. I remember when I belonged to what we call, quote, a gym. I will go to the gym, and because someone is in that bench at 400 pounds, well, the man that couldn't bench but 75 pounds, he was offended. He was afraid to go in. He would not come in. They were afraid. That's the truth. And so they would secretly go places and see if they could do something to build up their strength. See, a man that knows what he did, that I can do it. He walks right in and he does 75 pounds. But a weak man, he will stand back. He will be intimidated. He's afraid. And that's the truth. Hallelujah. So he's a weak man. And this generation is full of weak men. No strong men. No women to be found. Daughters of Zion, that's what scripture says. That's why you prepare yourselves to be loved as Yahshua loved the assembly. Hallelujah. You must prepare yourself to be loved that way. You do that. It says in the next verse, he said, but you have walked in the ways of the king of Israel, and you have made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring like the whoredom of the house of Ahab. Now, so if the house of Ahab was filled with whoredom, then the ones that he brought out of there for wives, were they filled with whoredom? Sure they were. He said, you've gone to whoring because these daughters have polluted your mind. You have not the Jehoshaphat. You fall out of the principles of Ahab. And what king was as wicked as Ahab? Did he not do wicked in the sight of Yah, like no other king? Was he not a weak, effeminate man that he was weak at? He did that what was wicked before Yah. When a man turns from the Torah of Yah, when he turns from the instructions of Yah, from the simplicity of Yah, he's a weak man. When a woman that rejects that, she has no strength to catapult the man. And then it kind of dimension to trust Yah and to love him. So today you find very little love in Yah. Very few. He says, you have committed whoredom like the house of Ahab, and you have also slain your brother, the brothers of your Avat house. Why? Which what? Well, what? Did that come out of the Nabi's mouth? Did it come out of the prophet's mouth? See, well, what is better than another? They were trying to slay one. That's why that Jezebel spirit daughters, come on, that's why that effeminate punk spirit men will cause you to slay a brother. Because they're better. He said, you killed them because they were better. They had a better reward. Yeah, I will, my brother. They had a better standard than yours. They were more bright. Did the Nobi say that? He's either telling the truth or he's a liar. Because they were better. And there are men that are better positioned than others. There are men that are better than others. Their character's better. Their attitude, that's the truth. I will, my brother. The daughters of Zion, their attitude is better. What they emanate is better. There's some that are even worth looking at. That's what the Nabi says. He said, you killed them because they were better. And that's what this wicked world does. They will kill one because they're better. Oh, the better is not because I got a Pierre Cardin shoes. That ain't worth a nickel worth a cat's dung. But the Ruach is better. Just like Cain and Abel. The gift of Abel was greater and better than the gift of Cain. And Yah accepted that. There are men that they are better in the spirit. They are better at the principles of Yah. Their daughters, that their submissiveness is better. He said they were better than you. They were better. Are there different degrees in the kingdom? Sure it is. Is there a different level of ages here? Well, sure it is. His brothers were better. And they will enlighten him, or the light of their worth or their beauty will show him how wicked he was. So in order to show or to masculinize or make himself masculine and stronger, he was cowardly and had them killed. That's what cowards do. They will come to me. They will come to you. I said to the folks down there, because when I went down there to London, I reproved, I rebuke, I uprooted. You do that? Well, sure I do that. If there's one scripture that I didn't even know when I met Evangelist Hartsfield, he said to me, he looks at me one day, he said, Brother Roberts, I want to tell you something. He had God know me about what I don't know, but that's all right. He looks at me, he said, "Brother, I want to tell you something." He said, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." And that's the way he would laugh. Well, I didn't ask him where it was. I went home, my sister, and I got my concordance. I remember open rebuke and better secret love. So I started with the secret. Yes, sir, my strong concordance. And I found it. When I found that, I said, it is of the truth because it is written. Yah's not going to alter anything that he has written in the book. Hallelujah. Was that written by the hands of Eliah? And it came unto Yehoram. Did it not come? And he killed his brother because they were better than him. He said, which were better than you. And that's what it says. Did he speak by the Ruach of Yah? He did not speak by the spirit of man. That's what Yah says. He said, they're better than him. Even though they should rule, but I put him there because of the wickedness of Israel, and I intend for him to lead them unto every kind of idolatrous worship it is to commit fornication. This is the wrath. See, that's what this nation does, does it not? It feeds the nation her fornication, her idolatrous worship. This is a nation of self-worship. It worships one's own philosophies and one's own wickedness, doesn't it? It loves wickedness. It loves to worship what we call the stars. It loves one's own wickedness, their own defiance. It loves one's own lust and one's own greed. They esteem that higher than they esteem the Torah of Yah. They were better. I don't care what translation you read it out of. They're better. There are men that are better than other men. There are men that are weak. There are women that are weak. They're soft. There are women that are strong women. Hallelujah. They hold fast to the Torah, the truth of Yah, and they will not alter it for not even themselves. That's the truth. So he had to remove them. And so one will have to remove the strength of one by diminishing him to him. They will try to break down his character to him because they're weak. And so what I say to him about him, you see, I've already told him. I've already said it to him. So what I say to him about him, I've already told him. And that's the way it should be. Hallelujah. So his brothers were better. They were better than him. The men that are better. I'd rather have one strong man than have 10 that are weakly and not sure. I will. Give me 10 men that have great strength and character. Then 500 that are weak, and the principles of Yah are not applicable to them in their mind. They not follow them authoritatively. Give me the 10. I can build a kingdom with 10. That's the truth. Then with 500 that are weak, because when fear comes, they will flee. When it comes for time to stand and to take a stance, they will not stand. They will falter and they will fall. And that's the truth. That's why Evangelist Hartsfield said, I'm going to put him out because I'm not going to allow him to cause others to falter. Did this weak man cause others to falter? Sure he did. Sure he did. It says in the next verse, he said, Yah said, I want you to see, behold, with great plagues will Yahweh smite Nagath. He's going to smite your people. And look who he's going to smite. And your children. Your children now. Your children. I tell you, brothers, I warn you all. You all may not believe this, but has Yahweh changed? His ways have changed. He has not changed. He said, I'm going to smite your children. He's talking to Yahroham. He said, and your wives and some of the things that you possess. Everything. Everything. He said, I'm going to smite it. He said, and you shall have great sickness by disease in your bowels, your intestines, until the bowels fall out by reason of sickness day by day. He said, you will have no strength at all, and the diseases shall come upon the land. Now, even that speaks of a metaphor. We should have our loins girded about with what? See, when a man has not the power of truth in him, when his belly is not filled with the truth of Yah, he falls to the weakest of things. That's why we fall so easily. Because we have no intestinal fortitude. It's not, that's what it said. You that are playing sports, should I not tell you that? You gotta have some intestinal fortitude. You've got to have fortitude. You've got to have strength in your gut. Isn't it amazing that when you get a little fear, that the first queasy that you feel is in your gut? In your intestines? So although this is an actual scenario, it also has a metaphoric, or it paints a picture for us to see, where a man, where one turns away from the principles of Yah, he has no strength in his loins. I don't care what you do, you got to have strength in your loins. I don't care what you do, you need strength in your loins. You got to have strength around here. If you don't have strength around here, that throws everything off. This can be hurting right here, but you need strength around here. Sure it can. You can have a headache, and I know you brothers have headaches, some of you all. You can have a headache, but if you don't have strength around here, you have nothing. It's something that you draw, as we said, we draw from the guts. I played sports all my life. Ever since I've known what sports were. And it was one thing that even though there were players that were better, sure they're better. But there was something I could draw from because I had to play against a better bowler. And he made me better too because he was better. We play basketball out there. We have on our team, we have the old heads, older heads. Brother Dale, Deacon Ben, and myself. I'm the one that take the ball out every time. Now there's a reason that I do that. Because Brother Dale is my first option. Can I shoot? I can drop the bomb out there like any brother. But I like that option first. Deacon Ben is my second option. He plays down low. Can I play down low like Deacon Ben? I can play as powerful down low as any man. And rebound with him. And that is the truth. But he is my second option. And so I have to work not as hard, but I have to work hard just to find me a shot to keep my confidence up. So is he better? Oh, sure, I consider him better. Is he better? Oh, yes, he's better. So it makes you less? Oh, sure it does. Sure it does. And because of that better play, it caused me to draw from the guts. And that's where you got to draw from it. That's what he was saying. He said, I'm going to cause your gut. I'm going to cause your fortitude, your energy to be exacted from you. And your guts, your intestines are going to drop out of your backside. You will have no strength. You won't be able to sit down because you're gutless. That's what they say. You're gutless. Do not they say that? You're gutless. It rings with the truth. It resonates with the truth because Scripture says that. Because he was wicked. Because he had gone against what Yah commanded him. He had brought elements into the house that corrupted him. If I allow certain things here, it will corrupt this whole place. Whether you all believe that or not, brothers and sisters. And I'm not going to allow it. I don't give a damn. And I said that way. Who you are, I don't care what you've given or what you can give. Doesn't mean nothing to me. I will not allow it here. Period. I'm not going to allow it. Because I know what it will do. Did he corrupt the whole house of Yehuda, Israel? Because he allowed certain things to come in. Well, it's all right to do that. Well, okay, build something over there, honey. That's all right to do it. Nobody knows. We just do it secretly. Your secret sins are going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Nobody will know. That's wicked, isn't it? That's not even a coward person. I hide nothing. I ain't got nothing to hide. Hallelujah. I sit over there sometime, the blinds open at night, midnight. See, clean in there. Well, if I had something to hide, I would close it. I don't have nothing to hide. Nothing. And what you hear is what's in this house. It is the truth, my brother. Hallelujah. And we'll not back down. And so he opened up the door to every kind of vile, wicked thing it was. And Yah says, I'm going to, your children, your wives, and all your goods. Verse 15, he says, and you shall have great sickness, my disease, and your bowels and your intestines shall fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Is that what it says, day by day? So what that metaphor shows us, even though this is true, it shows us that day by day you become weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker. Instead of getting stronger, you become weaker. You ever dealt with a situation you worried about, you know, this day you worried about and you sense the weakness? Well, the next day it becomes a little more intensified, you become a little weaker. And don't you feel it down there in your loins? And like, sure you do. You feel it right in there, don't you? Then the next day you become even more weaker. And then you come to the point whereby you're not even able to get up. You're not even able to get up out of the bed. You never experienced that. I have. When Sister Roberts came back from New York, I just got out of the military. And one morning, I went to her place. She was there with her brothers to look for her. And she had gone back to New York. And all I could do was just lay in bed all day, every day. Each day I just laid there by the telephone just hoping and praying she would just call. I was sick. I'm physically sick. I had nothing in my gut. It was weak. Couldn't eat. No strength. Just nothing. Just nothing. Just hoping and hoping for adventure. And she called me. She put me through much. That's all right. I'll get you back for that one. Hallelujah. But there's a weakness there. And that's what he says is going to happen to your house. It's a weakness. It's a weakness among the people of Yah. Because we don't have the truth of Yah in our gut. We don't have the truth of Yah in our gut. Our loins gutted about. You gird this about. You protect your gut with imat. What is truth? Well, it's Torah's truth, isn't it? That is what is truth. So you must protect the gut. And Yah says, because of your abominable ways, and because of your fornication, this idolatrous practice, because of your unfaithfulness unto Yah. When one is unfaithful, they will not do what one has been charged. That's what one is unfaithful is. And that is what the Zana is. It is a fornication. It is one that is not faithful to the Torah, the judgments and the principles of Yah. They judge them after the seeing of the eye and not after the hearing of the word of Yah. Who wants an unfaithful husband? Which one of you women want that? Which one of you men want an unfaithful wife? No one wants that. Yah doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to be unfaithful. And our faithfulness, not only in the sense that we don't go out beyond our marriage to be entertained by one, but our faithfulness to the Torah of Yah for the Isha, for the wife, for the woman, and also for the Aki, the man, the brother. That's a Torah that Yah that gives unto the man. He must walk in the faithfulness of that. That's a Torah unto the daughters of Zion that they must walk in the Torah of that. And when you don't that, you when you don't do that, then you're unfaithful. Then you're committing what the Zana. You're committing a spiritual idolatrous form of worship. You don't have to like it. It's still the truth. This word is going to cut. I intend for it to cut. I mean for it to cut. And I speak it to cut. And I want it to cut. And I will cut. Because His word is powerful and is sharp. And you that are wicked and your mind is steeped in wickedness, it's going to cut you. You men that are weak, it's going to cut you. You immature daughters of Zion, it's going to cut you. You that are better, it's going to cut you that you become better. Hallelujah. It's nothing like being faithful to one that loves Yah. That's why Shaul was so concerned with Timothy Yah. Because he was faithful to him. It's nothing like being faithful to the man of Yah. Just like Elijah and Elisha. He said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to stand by, I'm going to watch you until you're taken up. I don't care what happened. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand because I know you have the mantle of Yah. This is such an abominable, damnable generation. They can't even discern who has the mantle. Who has a mantle? They can't even discern it. That's sick. It's twisted. Because they're weak. He said, I'm going to cause your intestines to fall, your strength, it shall go from it. When you feel weak, the first place you feel is in your belly. If you're walking or running or exercising, I don't care what you do, it's when that thing, if it doesn't have what it needs, you sense the weakness. The little tentacles there radiate to your brain and tells you, you are weak. Does it not? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He says it's going to cause your strength to be abated. This nation has no strength. It's a nation of fornication. That's the wine that you drink in this nation. That's why you got to come out of her. Her traditions. I said to one, well, he said to me, well, you know, my traditions in my country, we used to doing things this way. I said, your tradition has made void the word of Yah. It means I don't care what your traditions taught you. I don't care what your traditions teach. You don't superimpose your traditions on the true word of Yah. Yah tells you what to do. When a man leaves his father and mother's house, he goes to a wife, he cleaves unto her, and they become one. They become ikat. That doesn't leave room for your mom-in-law, your mama, your dad-in-law, your sister, your brother. It's that wife. So I don't care what your traditions taught you in your country. Wrong. Imposed upon the principles of Yah.
I said to the man, for it's your traditions have made void the word of Yah, and that's why you have no strength, and he's a weak man. Sure he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to hear this. This is in the Apocrypha, but it is so sound that I must read it. Listen to it. It's in the book of Wisdom. Wisdom 14. Wisdom 14 and 12. Now, if you think it doesn't resonate with some immat truth, then say to me, Pastor Roberts, invalid. All right? I'll read what it says in Wisdom 14, verse 12. It says, for the idea of making idols was the beginning of fornication. When one began to produce idols, there is a fornicating or a zana, a spirit that is unfaithful. And so what the book of Wisdom says, when one began to make idols, when they began to create their own philosophy, their own concepts, their own thoughts in their bellies, it's because they become unfaithful unto Yah. I think that will stand. When began to build their idols, I don't care whether it's their sons, their daughters, their wives, or their husband. When anyone supersedes, any instruction supersedes the instructions of Yah, then that has become idolatrous unto you. I don't care what it is. It's an idol. So the beginning, when one began to make idols, is because fornication, zana, is there. And the invention of them was the corruption of life. So when one makes idols, will that not corrupt them for life? Is that one corrupt? There are parents that have corrupted their sons and their daughters because they made them idols. I'll say it, son. There are parents that have corrupted their sons and their daughters because they have made them idols. They could never see their wrong. They could do no wrong. There was no correction. And then they got a damn fool what they got today. Even the wrong was honored. Even the wrong was looked upon. Well, I think that this resonates a character of truth here. I think it has a great revelation here. So they make them idols. Oh, my daughter, she's doing this. Oh, my son, he was smart. She was good in math and she did that. Oh, she was wonderful. She could read on this level. See the signs. I'm a proud parent of a child. I have no pride. I hate that word. That words I don't even have in my vocabulary. I do not use them. Period. And that is what I will not use to express anything of any character concerning me. I'd rather use I'm an ignorant man. Hallelujah. See, when I'm ignorant, Yah says he winks. Not like the wicked men wink. He said, I'll pass. Now, here's the truth. Obey it. So when one began to make idols, they began to lift them up. And then what they do, it says that the invention of them was the corruption of life. So the mom and daddy corrupt and the daughter is corrupt because she has no true value of what reality is or what the Torah of Yah is. For neither have they exist from the beginning, nor will they exist forever. An idol has no life in it. I don't care how much you idolize them. There are parents that will say, I idolize my son. I idolize my grandbaby. Like, that's what they say. You've never heard that expression? Oh, I've heard that. You've been around long enough, mama. You've heard that, right? Elder Mar, you next in line. You've been around long enough. You heard that? Brother Dave, you third. Have you ever heard that? All right, then. There are three witnesses. Now look upon them all and see if their witness have any character. Elder, you're the next in line. Have you ever heard that? That's four witnesses. Sister Horn, have you heard that? Okay, then that's five. Don't need no more, do we? All right. So they idolize them. They make them idols. They know what they mean. They're painting this image in their mind, these concepts and their thoughts. They see no wrong, do no wrong. Do no wrong, they can't be wrong. It's not of Yah. Foolishness is bound, what the word says. And I believe that above all things. He says, for through the vanity of men, they enter the world. And therefore their speedy end has been planned. Yah says, that's all right, you got them. But the end is going to come. He says, all vanity and the end is going to be one of speediness. It's going to come. It's going to be a speedy end. And it certainly is going to come. It certainly. I watch them, they lift up their sons and daughters and they turn out just like what I was. Nothing. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm glad I'm nothing. Because he's everything. He's everything. What I have in me, that as far as me, there's nothing that is dwelling me. It is the power of his immense that flows from me that is worth anything. His truth. Hallelujah. He's worth everything. My value is insignificant. He said the end of that is going to come just like he did with Israel, with Jehoram, when he rebelled against Yah, when he took the counsel of his wife instead of the counsel of the patriarchs before him from the scroll, from the Torah of Yah, to see how to bring Yehuda, Israel, in the direct alliance with Yah. You turned your mind away from the Torah, you go back to the Torah. You began to walk away from the principles of Yah, you go back to the Bereshit and see how I get this right. And the first thing is, there's an examination of your loins, your heart, your inward parts. If someone says to me, I tell you what, I can shoot you right here, or cut your belly, and shoot me. I'd rather take a shot than a cut. Because you're going to die. You may have a chance with that up here. That's the truth. If they say, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even go there. If someone says, I'll tell you what, you either let me shoot you or let me take a knife and stick you in the gut. I say, if I got a choice, don't shoot me in the belly. Shoot me anywhere but the belly. And then I'd rather take the shot than the knife. That's the truth. Because when the knife is laid, that little wound is going to close up and you're going to die. There was a thief of the day that went in the store, robbed the store, made out with the money. When he got outside, he put the gun and he shot him in his groin. Boom! And he lays there withering and he dies right there. Robbed the store, put the gun there, boom, and then it kills him. Takes him out of the world. And that's why the enemy goes for the belly, for the loins first. That's why it must be good because that's the most sensitive part. That's where the vitals are, that's where the kidney, and all the vitals are there. That's where the vital organs are. That's why it must be girded. It must be protected by emat. You must have the truth of Yah in your gut. That's what you must have. Not these falsifies, Pharisees, and Pharisizing the word of Yah. You can't have that. Must be the emat of Yah. His truth. Your loins girt with his truth. That's your protection. The truth of Yah. It's a generation of idols and making idols. Once one began to make idols, you know that there is an unclean, abominable, vile, unfaithful spirit there. Can I tell you, brothers, I don't care whether you spend more time or you spend time on videos and no time with wife and youngins. You wife, you got time for every sister, but no time for husband. Something is twisted in your damn twisted mind. You made that an idol. You can talk to everybody, but you can't talk to him. You can be sweet to some Jezebel. You can't be sweet to her. You're a twisted man. You can pull a door open for some slut in the street. And I use the word slut. There was a man who used the word slut. And they reproved him. And he had to apologize. Where are the little gals out there having babies like dogs? They're sluts. You know something is wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't talk, can't entertain. Energy for everything with them. You get quiet, but that's all right. I like that. Hallelujah. The axe, as Evangel Horn would say, the battle axe is laid to the root of the tree. That's why I tell you to get to the roots. See, the root of the evil is in your own heart. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't love me. Your love doesn't mean a nickel with a hog's poop. Because you don't know how to love. You don't know how to love your husband. You don't know how to love your children. You don't know how to love me. What do I care about you loving me? I don't even want your damnable, twisted love. I'd rather have Hannah's love. Hallelujah. Where she looks at me. Ah, Brother Lindsay. She's pretty as he is handsome. I told her one day, you're not as handsome as pretty as he is handsome, but she's getting there. Hallelujah. I'd rather have her love. Hallelujah. Sure I would. Not yours. It's an innocent. It's pure. You can sense it. She'll look at me sometimes and you can sense the genuine care. She will look at the tears flowing you. She sensed that. And then they begin to flow from her little eyes. Ah, that's all right. I like that. That's reality for me. Hallelujah. Read something else out of the Apocrypha. It says in Sirach, Sirach 23. The wisdom of Sirach, 23:16. It says, two sort of men multiply, they create sin. He's going to tell us the two sorts now that multiply sin. He said, and a third incur wrath. He incurs the wrath of Yah. The soul, heated like a burning fire, will not be quenched until it is consumed. A man that is lustful has no control of his appetite. He is not going to be quenched unless Yah consume him. He's laid on his bed where he can't move. He has no power to do anything at all. That's the only thing that's going to quench a man like that. Sister Roberts and I were coming back, and as I scanned the radio station, I was listening to a show, and they had women over 50 with AIDS. And the amount of women were calling in there with AIDS, it was almost... One woman, her story was so sad. Her husband, the man had left the woman. He liked young girls. She wanted to receive him back. She brought him back, and he gave her AIDS. She thought she was sick with something. She gets tested, and she has AIDS. Nothing lived that long, and she dies and leaves the grandchildren and all, because she undoubtedly was taking care of whorish daughter's grandchildren. And the women that were calling in with AIDS, it was astounding, daughter. It was literally astounding, the amount that were calling in. I'm not 50, but I'm 48, but I got AIDS. I'm not 50 yet, I'm 49, but I got AIDS. Hallelujah. This unclean spirit. See, that is a representation of the uncleanliness in a land of fornicators, of spiritual practitioners, that they all have gods and they worship their own gods. That is what it produces. It is an unfaithfulness. They're not faithful to friends. You will know a faithful friend, one that is faithful, will conceal the sin of a brother and a sister. When someone runs to you and tells you the sin of someone else, you know, don't trust them with any matter of any importance. I'll tell you that. They're not faithful. It is the truth. There are matters. I was talking, I think, the deacon home one day, and I told him a matter, and it's been many years. But the people here, the matter I told him of, the people, they've long gone from here. But yet, he's never known that, nor the Deacon Benny, Elder Martin, because it's done, that's it. When I said that to him, he was astounded. That's right. You will know one that is unfaithful. You will know that. You tell the brothers everything? No, not everything. I tell them everything I need to tell them to get the weight off me. Hallelujah. Is that what Yethro told Moshe? You find men that are, first of all, the Yareyah have the ability to teach the Torah, the statutes of Yah. Set them over 1,000, 100, 10, 10. He said, the weighty matters, they come to me. Hallelujah. So he had to find strong men. Were all the men of that nature that he could do that? No. Hallelujah. He had to pray about that. Were they better than the other men? Sure, they were better. They were better equipped. They had a better mindset. They had a better strength. They had a better tenacity. Hallelujah. Sure it is. I'd rather find a man that's better than the one that's not the best. Give me the better man. Give me the better man. You take the best, give me the better man. I'll take that. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the truth. All men are not of the same value. They're not. That is the truth. All men you cannot speak the same thing to. All women you cannot say the same thing to. All men you cannot entrust with certain things. And all women, believe me, you cannot. You're not saying to the brothers, I'm saying this to you. Now, if I hear it, I know where it came from you. Period. No matter seal. When I say seal, it's seal. And I mean that. It's seal, I mean that. He goes on to say here in Sirach, a man who commits fornication with his near of kin will never cease until the fire burns him up. Do you all believe that? Oh, I believe that. There are folks that commit fornication with their near kin. And they never cease from that. Is not this nation filled with that? Oh, my, what an abominable thing. I read to you all the other day that little girl at 10 years old, pregnant, had a baby. At 10, I was reading the other day, a man in Italy, this little girl sending him, texting him messages on his cell phone, and they began to have a little relationship. He went to prison. Well, his lawyer proved that it was pure love. And they were madly in love with each other. What does a little 13-year-old girl can't even bathe herself right? What she knows about love. And a man 38 years old, that he's that juvenile, what can he tell you about love? He's a juvenile. A 13-year-old girl. Fingernails dirty. That is the truth. Look at the little fingernails. They're dirty. At 13, they just began to realize that they're dirty under their nails. Hallelujah. You're trying to grow nails and they're dirty underneath there. Hallelujah. He says, not only that they shall burn, he says, to fornicate, Zanha, all bread tastes sweet. When one fornicates against Yah, listen, brothers and sisters, when one turns against the Torah of Yah, everything they do seems right. That's what I mean. Bread, is a form of the daba, of the word of Yah. So when a man is a fornicator, when a woman is a fornicator, everything they do, it tastes right. And they justify everything they do. Well, I don't see why. Well, why I can't, why we can't, why they do, why he, why she. You understand? No, I'm not going to be a fornicator because someone else is a fornicator. I'm not going to go ahead and go against the Torah of Yah because he did it or she did it. It's going to cause me to judge myself even with the more scrutiny. I'm going to scrutinize myself even more with more intent. Let every man be a liar. Let every man be a liar and let Yah be truth. He commands me to save myself from this untoward generation. So I'm going to do that. So fornicator, all bread tastes sweet. He will never cease until he dies. And these are the three kinds of men. That's what God's talking about. When one fornicates, they will never cease from it. When you find that adulterous, abominable spirit in one, when one is not faithful to Yah, they won't cease. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. I know this is a metaphor of a natural act of a man, but it has more spiritual implication than the natural ramifications. When you find a man unfaithful to Yah, he will never be a faithful. He may have a beautiful verbiage of expression how he loves Yah, but he will never be faithful. That's why Yah's going to save Israel. He's going to save the remnant of the seed. He just got a little seed. He's going to save. You find one that fornicates the word of Yah when they lay it down, as the old folks would say, I'm going to lay down my religion. Now don't make me lay down my church now. I'll bop your head, lay down my church, and when I finish whipping your backside, then I pick up my church. When I was growing up, they would say that. You heard him say that, mama? All right, then. I've heard him say it, too. And they would say, don't make me lay down my religion now. You lay it down, it's no have no value to you. How do you know that? Well, can I ask you a question? Any of y'all here? If you had 1,000 cash dollars in hand, you just going to lay it down? You are someone, you going to lay it down and say, now, come on, honey. No, you ain't laying that down. Putting that in a safety place. Hide that in my heart. You like David, I'm hiding it in my heart so I won't sin against Yah. Hallelujah. So when you find a man or woman that fornicates, that's why this message must be taught. This wrath upon this fornication of Babel. What she does, she calls one to be unfaithful. She sowed the seed of unfaithfulness. She is the gateway to the gods. She confused the minds of men. Why? Because they do not adhere to the Torah of Yah. So they look weak. They look effeminate. They look soft. I want to look strong. I want to look strong, period. I don't have to be able to lift 50 pounds. I want to look strong. Hallelujah. I don't care if I can't lift up 60 pounds. I want to look strong. Hallelujah. I want my countenance to emanate a strength. Sure I do. Your daughters, you don't want your counselors to emulate some kind of beauty? All right then, don't play with me. Okay. So I want mine to emanate a strength. So when you see me, you will know that there's something there. Hallelujah. I am the head. And the expression is in the head, isn't it? I'm not the tail end, my friend. I'm not that. I will not be reduced to that. You shall have as the head. For everything comes from the head, and the blessing to the body flows from the head. And I will not do that. So I want to emanate. And when a man has the living Torah of Yah in him in his mind, he emanates the strength of Yahshua. That's what he emanates. He has the character. His walk is defined by his strength. Can you not tell one in a position in life? Can you not tell a lot about them, how their walk defines them? Sure you can. I know I can. I observe things like that. I got observation. I always watch. I always look at things. I watch things. Because you learn a lot from watching. You learn a lot from watching. You ever just looked at the ants and watched them go about their daily tasks? Do you learn from that? I know I do. So I learn a lot from watching whether it's the ants and whether it's the people ants. Hallelujah. So you learn that way. He also says here, he said, a man who breaks his marriage vows says to himself, who sees me? That's what a man says. Nobody sees me. Darkness surrounds me. I'm in this dark place. And that's what we think. Are we not a spouse unto Yahshua? We have a marriage vow. And so we do things and we say, well, that's all right. It's all right. I pray. Yeah, y'all forgive me. No, it's not that. You may think it's that way, but it's not that way. Who sees me? And the walls hide me. And no one sees me. Why should I, Yahweh, why should I fear the Most High? Will not even take notice of my sin. See, this is what this nation says. Her high walls of pride, your walls of pride, your walls of arrogance, your walls of your idolatrous worship. You say, yeah, he doesn't even take notice of me because this is me. What I do is more valuable to him. You do nothing. He sees everything. His eyes look low. He sits high and he looks low. So there's nothing Yah doesn't see. He sees everything you do. He knows everything you do. So there's nothing that you do that gets by Yahweh. But that's the corruption of the mindset. Now this is from the Apocrypha, from Sirach. Does it make sense? Does it sound real? Sure it does. His fear is confined to the eyes of men, and he does not realize the eyes of Yahweh are 10 times brighter than the sun. They look upon all the ways of men and perceive even the hidden places. He even sees the hidden things. Yah even sees the hidden things. I don't even know what that is, 10,000 times brighter than the sun. Because I can't even look at the sun. I have tried. I try to look at the bright, and his eyes 10,000 times brighter than the sun, and nothing is hidden. Nothing gets by him. I think that metaphor, that analogy, that's pretty relevant today. He sees everything. Before the universe was created, it was known to Yahweh. So it was also after it was finished. Even after the finisher, he knew the universe. He said, this man will be punished in the streets of the city, and where the least he suspect it, he will be seized. Where the least place he suspects it, he will be seized. And that's what this nation, it thinks that it is a man. It thinks it's going to rise up against Yah. It says to Yah, I'm a God like you, the Most High. It tries to compare itself with Yahweh. You see, that's what men do. When a man has a fear of his strength, he says a stronger man, he says, I'm a man just like you. Well, you know what a man is. But you're not like me. You're not. Every man in here cannot lift 50 pounds. I use that analogy. Every man I know can lift 50 pounds. Now, I use that for an analogy. Okay, I'll go further then. Every man in here cannot lift 300 pounds. Every man in here cannot lift 400 pounds. Every man in here cannot lift 500 pounds. Now, how about that? Okay, that's more of a reality, right? So every man can do that. There's some that can lift 3, but he can't lift 4. There's some that can lift 4, they can't lift 425. There's some that can lift 425, can't lift 450. And that's how it is. He will not even suspect where he shall be seized, but he shall be seized. So it is with a woman who leaves her husband and provides an heir by a stranger. When a woman leaves the rule of her husband, do you understand that? When a man goes away from his wife, when he goes away from the faithfulness of the one he's espoused to, and this all has to deal with Yah. When a woman leaves her husband, when she goes out and she entertains a stranger. Can I show an example of what I mean? A woman leaves her home every morning. She goes out to a job and she's faithful to that environment that she obeys everything they say. They tell her, you got to come to work on Shabbat. She finds a reason to do that. She's fearful. She's afraid. And she finds a way. Well, I want to keep my job. You understand? You all get quiet, but that's all right. She finds every way to break Yah's Torah. Man is weak. He's afraid because he doesn't trust Yah. They tell him the very same thing. He can't do it. He can't do it because he's afraid. And so what he does, he brings up an heir in his house. That is not of the birthright. It has not come from Yah. So he brings up this heir. He brings up what he thinks is riches in his home. That they are false. They're not the true riches of Yah. It's not his living word. What? Because his word is like silver tried by the fire seven times. That's what a man needs in his gut. He needs the word of Yah that he can stand. That's what a woman needs in her gut. She needs the word of Yah. Purge herself from all of her filthiness, her trashy ways. I like being around brothers that are better than others. I like the better sisters too. There you go. Hallelujah. I do. I just don't like being around weak men. Especially man when you show them the principles of Yah. And they do not gravitate to that strength. You know, I used to say to the brothers, and I use this as an analogy. I would say to them, I tell you what, you come with me. And that's what I have you doing in this period of time. There's not one brother. There's not one brother that have gone in that gym with me and did what I told him to do. That did not get where I said there would be. Not one. Not one. Now they may have stopped short of the thing, but they stayed with me. They did exactly because I knew how to get them there. And when I got them there, there's a strength of their character. They, man, look at this. Woo! It creates a different mindset, a different... Yes, it does. Thank you. Told down, my brother. A brother likes to lift 200 pounds, but when he gets 300, that's a different world right there. Huh? He gets 300 pounds, you give him 350, he says, whoa. He walks to him, he lets him, man, I got 300. I'm using this as a natural analogy to show you, brothers and sisters. You get him up 375, then he's like, whoa, man, this here, this is unreal. That's how it is. You understand? So you bring a man up, you gradually move him up, you know exactly what he can do, and even when he can't do it, you make him do things that he's not able to do because it instills that confidence of his ability to do it, and that's what the word of Yah, that's what the Torah does. It instills within you the ableness to do it. Hallelujah. It instills within you the power to do what Yah commands you. Brothers and sisters, we need that. That's why this wrath of this fornication that the nations from this nation. We're not nations before Yah individually. And so what we do, we will feed people, our brothers and sisters, the same unclean, idolatrous spirit because we have been drinking from this wine cup of idolatry. And so we want them to act like us. So we'll justify our corrupt ways and our wickedness. It's not going to be. Hallelujah. You're going to be around me. You're going to ship up. Or you're going to ship out. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be right. That's just the bottom line. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you give $10,000 a week. I will not let what happened here with Yehoram to bring devastation upon the house of Israel. So if I die today, then the rulers or the men that rule will walk in the same light of Yah's truth. And they will lead you on to the promised place, the presence of Yah. Not here. Period. So you must be strong. How do you get strong? Then you watch the one that's stronger than you, and you do what he does. You do what she does. Hallelujah. There's that one brother that has worked with me that hasn't jumped exponentially. And that's a fact. I know how to do it. Why? You know I know how to do it? Can I tell you where it all began? Yeah. So I got to get that first. Once I get that, the physical acts, that's nothing. But it's this. You must get this first. You must train the mind. The mind has to be like Yahshua's mind. Has to have the mind of HaMashiach. And we don't work on this much. We work on this now. We love this. But that, we neglect. That's why you hear those that are... What was one of the expressions of one when I was coming up? When they were skinny-minded or... Yeah. Narrow. We didn't say it like that. It was a slang term we used to use. You have nothing up here. See? Just an airhead. So you got to get something. It begins here, brothers and sisters. In the mind. With Yisrael, it begins here. Because we love things to satisfy the belly. See now the eyes and what it looks like. See, it must begin here. So this has to be shaping. See, this is shaping. That little thing, there ain't nothing but boom, 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 boom. It just pumped the bloods. This is the heart. This is the heart of man here. That must be shaping. That. You got to get that shaping here. And what that alludes to the centrality or the nature of the life of man that flows from the inward parts outwardly. So you got to get this right first. So I began here. And when you shape that, nothing they can't do. Nothing. But you got to shape that. You got to shape this first. And the Torah shapes this that we can do all things in Yahshua HaMashiach. Because he gives us strength. And if it's not shaped by the word of God, I don't care whether it's affliction, whether it's suffering, whatever. We can do it for the satisfaction of the kingdom work. Hallelujah. Because this is all twisted and messed up. We can do it. You see, this right here caused this to get weak. Because you think this way, that's why that gets weak. The belly has no strength. When this gets weak, yeah. And something that we will call when I was playing sports is called a second wind, or you getting that tenaciousness in your mind. Even though you can't do it, you do it. And that's something that drives you from it. You are jogging or running, you say, man, I'm tired. The old body is telling you that, isn't it? But the mind is fresh, it's becoming more fresh. The mind is saying, come on, man. You can go on from here. And that's why most folks can't do what they intend to do, because the physical appetite of the flesh says you can't do it. But this is here where it began. When you get this shape and right, there's nothing will impede you. But you got to get this right. You will walk according to the Torah of Yah, according to his statutes, his commands. But you got to get this right first. You got this right and it's wrong. But you got to get this right. Because this is not right, then this is wrong. Because this gives that the appetite. And because the appetite is corrupted, because it's coming from a corrupt mind. So you got to get that right. And that's why Yehoram, he was able to corrupt the minds of the people, because they didn't have this right, because they were living off this. And when you get this right, you will get your loin. You're going to protect your loin. You're going to make sure that Yahshua is the center focus of your mind. You have on the helmet of salvation, and Yahshua is the one that you focus on. Hallelujah. And nothing else. Nothing else. We need that. Hallelujah. I was talking to Brother Pat yesterday. And of course, the tears began to flow from his eyes. And he said to me, Pastor Roberts, I wanted to give you a gift, but I know what to give you. He said, but Pastor Roberts, I really love you. I know I've been hard-headed, but I love you. I say, son, he couldn't give me $10,000. That was more sweeter than that. Give me that, man. That was better than he. What do I need? What? I got enough pair of shoes. I got 15 pair. I can sell some. I don't need nothing. That right there was sweeter than anything he could give me. Sweeter than the truffle sister he always buys me. That's sweeter than that. The tears of teshuva. And this commitment to obey Yah. Ah, son, that's the gift. I don't need nothing else. I'd rather have that gift than he go and bring 50,000 off. That's the truth. I'd rather have that. Because with a man like that, then you give him a command and we can do all things in Yahshua. See, he can put one to flight like that, but when he knows he needs a little help, then two of us, we can put the hosts of the enemies to flight. That was greater than anything that truffle. Don't worry about buying me no truffles. I don't want that. Jenny already keeps me stuck with that. And so I don't want that. So there was no gift that he could buy me. His words were greater than any gift or anything he could have gave me. The sweetness of those words satisfied me greater than anything. He could not have bought me a pair of shoes, a suit. That's greater. And so that's why our words must be pure what we speak, even unto Yah. Wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you command me, I mean that. I mean that with everything in me. Whatever you instruct me in and show me, Yah, come hell or high waters, I will stand on it. Okay, no one stands with me. But there's a sure thing, can I tell you? Elder Martin always remind me of this. There's going to be always someone that stands with those that stand for truth. So I'm not worried about being alone. There will always be someone. If it's not but two or three. Hallelujah. In our conversation, he's got it down from 10 to 3 now. That's enough. Two or three gathered in his name. There shall he be in the midst. So he's got it all the way down to 3. He used to stop at 10. But he's got it down to 3. But see, he keeps that, even though he's not conscious of what he's saying. But that's what the word of Yah says. So if it's just two or three of us in here in his name, we know that he is in the midst. And I would declare the counsel of Yah in his name by the power of Yahshua, for that's where the authority lies. And what Yahshua tells us, it is right, and we must obey, because it comes from the strength of Torah. You disobey that, you're wicked. Hallelujah. It says this, so it is with a woman who leaves her husband, she provides a heritage by a stranger, for first of all, she has disobeyed the Torah of the Most High. Are we not the woman of HaMashiach? And if we don't walk according to what he commands us by the instructions of the Torah, have we been unfaithful? Sure, we've been unfaithful. Second, she has committed offense against her husband. We have committed offense against Yah. And third, she has committed adultery through her harlotry and brought forth children of another man. And that's what we do. We bring forth our little children, those little seeds that we care about. I care about the word of Yah. I care about what Yah commands. That's what I care about. And so we bring forth our little secret children. And the days that when one was pregnant, they would send them away, but the baby still was born. It was done secretly. Nobody knew. Many times give it to the aunts. Grandmama took it. That's the truth. And yet, we are birthed by the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah, and we bring forth the children of Yah. We know what that is, don't we? I'll tell you what it is. I know you answer me, but you don't know. It's his fruit of Ahava, meekness, kindness, tenderness, long-suffering. Those are the children. He's coming back for abundance of those. He's coming back for abundance of children of the fruit of the Ruach of his Spirit. He's coming back for that kind of fruit. He says, she herself is brought before the assembly. Now, the Torah teaches that, doesn't it? You bring them before that sin willfully against you. You bring them before the assembly. You expose their wickedness. And punishment will fall on her children. Now that's Torah. He said the curse will go down to the fourth generation. He said because they have defied. That's right. Parents, I tell you, mothers, you got time for every kind of wicked, damnable thing it is. Your mind captivated by every kind of twisted book. Every kind of little small matter. This is what the Torah said. This is Torah. It's Torah truth. And punishment will fall on her children. How do you know? Her children will not take root. The root, they will have no root in them. They will have no love of the word of Yah in them. We know what the root of Yahweh is. It's his love. You gotta have a love of Torah. Children will take no root. And her branches will not bear fruit. They will never bear fruit. Nothing will come out of them. I don't care if they become lawyers and dentists. They will never bear the fruit of Yah. They will never take root. We're grounded and rooted in the Ahava of Yah. That's the life of his Torah. They will never take root. Period. Well, I don't believe Yah is that way. Were there twins yet unborn? Did he love one? Did he hate the other one? All right then. He loved one and he hated. Has he changed? He's still the same. There are two that have children, one he hates, both of them. One over there in the boondocks of the jungle, that one he loves. He loves. A false adulterous seed. That's what the enemy has caused the young women to become. Hoish, and the seed passes from mothers to daughters and sons. And that's the truth. I don't care what you all say. And the daughters, oh, they may be sneaky or sly in their whoredom, but they would do the same things. They would be hoish and wicked. These spirits, they're real. That's why a man must walk in the life of Torah. You must. That's why I said to one other day, I said, even scripture says, even by the cleanliness of a husband and a wife, if one of them serving Yah, walking in the truth, then the child is clean. Unless your children are clean. And so we have brought an abundance of unclean things in the world. That's the truth. Whether you buy it or not. Whether you accept that, it's just the truth. Can I ask you a question? Will you believe me? When Yah opened up the gate of hell for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, did they have little babies? Did they go down in the pit with them alive? Sure they did. Sure they did. When they come out, hollering at Elijah, go ye bald head, Elijah. Did Yah cause the she bears to tear them in pieces? Sure he did. They were filthy little things. You tell me you can go out here and look at some of these little things that have been birthed out of the gut of hell. The attitudes, you look at them. I can see why he turned. He said, in the name of Yah, you children of hell, I curse you. Don't tell me you don't see that. And you don't see them change. There's generation after generation out there in Los Angeles and the Crips and the Bloods, the mama, they were Crips and Bloods. And little youngins like that little boy that with rags on their head, they're walking around, their blood and they're cripping, they're banging, they're ganging, they're shooting the signs. And it's in them. They tell you your blood for life. Your Crip for life. That's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. And so the thing is that in the spiritual realm, so that seed is passed from one to the other. Hallelujah. You've seen that from here. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm not trying to offend the sister here, but she did things that were inappropriate in her life. Her and Brother John. She produced a daughter. Look, she's doing the same thing she did out there. Hoeing. Having babies. Had a baby. Look at Sandy's girl. Look at that. Babies. Abortions. I don't care what you say. You can get upset. It's just the truth. My mother has six children, my six different men. Oh, that's all my brothers and my natural sister have, babies. He said, well, fall upon your children. Your children. You all can reject it. It's still the truth. That doesn't make it void because your little skinny mind don't like it. It doesn't like it. It's still the truth. My natural sister, she was on the same path. My mother, she had three. My mother had six. That's six different men. She was three different men. You can say what you want to. My oldest brother, I don't know how many he got. About 12. Woman here, there. Yet he had a seed of Yisrael in the midst of the belly of Horem. Sure he did. His name was David. Brought forth no children, have no heritage at all. Nothing. He has one religion, and that is to the kingdom work and calling. Out of the belly of a whore, he brought forth his seeds. Nurtured and polished on every kind of whore spirit it is, but that one was his. That one. Them? Nah. That one. Had no self-worth and never thought of himself as anything. Always thought that they were better. He said, nah, that one is mine. Shaitan said, but he's taller than him. He said, I know that. But this is the one I've elected. Him. He has nothing to offer. That's all right. I got everything to offer him. So out of that belly, he brought forth one little seed. Hallelujah. And I looked down to the generational statues of that whole family. I see nothing in there. Nothing. Are you against them? No, I'm for Yahweh. Hallelujah. I told you all the story that I went to see the natural man. That's my natural father. I was saddened because of him. I'm not sad because I've never met the man. And don't tell me that's like going to see your little wicked, holy sons and daughters. You can't even compare the scenario. He's a sinner, never met the man a day in my life. And Yah did bless me to preach Yeshua to him and not some damnable Jesus. Hallelujah. And you better understand that they knew what they were dealing with too. Even his wife sent me a card and said, "Bless you, Pastor Roberts. We'll ever see him again if he comes here." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't even compare that. It's not even the same. That's a wickedness. That's a shallowness in any of y'all to even make that assertion. Never seen the man a day in my life. Don't even know him. He was a stranger to me like I was to him. Hallelujah. Stranger. Not even comparison. You can't even compare it. Period. To justify your wickedness. Period. See, he doesn't even know Yah. Nor does he know the power of Yah. When one turns away from Yah, they're wicked. That's a wicked one. That's wicked. When they sell themselves for the abominable and you strengthen the hands of them, you're as wicked as they are. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That a man rejected Yah won't even, he would never see me. And he probably will never see me again. He's welcome to come here. Long as we say, come right. He may be listening today too. Long as they come right. And I let him come. Hallelujah. I let some of your wicked kinsmen come. Unsay. But your wicked sons and daughters that reject you, they will not come here. Period. You don't know me, you Jezebel spirit. You don't know Yah. That's why you don't know me. Because if you knew Yah, you would know me. I'm sent of Yah. Hallelujah. And I have his word in my mouth. Her children shall not take root, and her branches will not bear fruit. She leaves her memory for a curse, and her dishonor will not be blotted out. You understand that? She leaves her memory for a curse, and the dishonor of what they have done will not be blotted out. So that's why the children, not the children, do the same thing the mothers do. Period. They will do the same thing. Hers, if they last, they will do what she did. That's why you've got generations on welfare, babies after babies after babies. That's just it. They are a seed that is cursed of Yah. When he brings out a remnant that he's blessed, that the whole, you will not even know whether they lived in poverty or what. Because he empowered them with the power of his Ruach. And so he intended for them to produce babies of whoredom. You're a faithful man, a stewardess. You can't, unless a man is faithful in the smallest of matter, you cannot entrust him with the most powerful things of Yah. If you cannot be faithful in something that's small, first of all, the sign of a sure steward of Yah, they must be faithful. It's either that I'm a faithful steward of Yah, or I'm a false steward. I don't care who I offend when it comes to the word. When you will do things that are opposed to what his word says, you're wicked and I will point you out. Whether it's you or your mom or dad, it makes no difference. I'm not going to let that here. Now you all can leave. I don't care who y'all leave. It makes no difference. You're going to either get it right or you're going to leave from here. And I have no problem with that. I really don't. Period. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. Period. I will not allow you to bring the corruption here. Hallelujah. Because your fellowship with the wicked, when you take great delight and pleasure in that, I know something is twisted. I don't care if it's the daughter, his son, daughter, I don't care who it is. Pastor Roberts, you weren't down there. Well, you know, Yah blessed me to preach. It's amazing how he did that. And the old man sat there, astounded, as he heard this man that he's never seen, as he spoke and articulated. Then the son that he had raised all his life, he jumps up. This is the kind of truth I need to hear. Yes. The daughter opened her mouth. And of course, I don't care who it is. Hold up, woman. No, that's wrong. She will not get by with me with that. Someone else. Not with this preacher. I said, no. Not so. Period. I don't care how educated she is, means nothing to me. Not here. You may do it with them, but you're dealing with one that's cut from a different cloth now. Sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's nothing that blessed come out of her. And what is, listen to me, this is a metaphor of us in the sense, what is blessed coming out of us? Our words do not bless one another. It's one thing when a word is a berach. It is a word of life that comes out of them. Hallelujah. Come on, husbands and wives. You ever spoken to the wife in the morning and you say, bless you, honey, shalom. And wife, you feel wonderful. Oh, what a wickedness. Are you all that quiet? Or the wife ever spoke to you, husband, she says, shalom, husband. And even though you feel all ruddy and dismembered, you say, okay, hallelujah. That's what it is for, brothers and sisters. So when Yabrach Yisrael, he speaks to us, he says, rise and shine. Give me the kabod, give me the honor. Come on, you tell me that doesn't speak life. We need to get the blessed truth in our hearts. Yahshua said, the words I speak unto you, they are ruach and they are life. It's either Yahshua is in us and he's alive, or we got some damnable spirit in us. If he is the power of our minds, our thoughts and our hearts, then what we speak, it ought to be life. This is what the word of Yah does. It examines us and it strips us and makes us naked and it shows us how shallow we are. That's what it does. Sister Roberts and I stopped in the store and a woman, she just walked past us and her smile was very jovial and very enlightened. And she just looked at us and said, hi, how are you? I said, well, you know, the way the woman spoke, she just says, how are you? Hi. You know, just life to her, the way she spoke. It would take a dead fool to look at her and say, huh? Sister Robert looks at me, I look at her, I say, you know, of course, Sister Robert smiles. Yeah. But it did create that. It did create some spontaneity. She walks right around the show. She looks at us and says, hi, how are you all doing? Okay. Quiet, huh? All right, then. And that's what lively words do, don't they? Hallelujah. So we speak life. And that's why we brock one another. I want to read something else before I close. I'm not going to finish you all today. But I'll get back here, all right? I will. I must. Hallelujah. There's much to this. Yah says in Yeskel, Ezekiel. Now let me read from here because this is much. I want to get back to this. I want to turn to Yochanan, John 8 and 40, and Gilead 9:21. But Yochanan. Yochanan 8:40, he says, Yahshua, as he answered these fools, he says, but now you seek to kill me. He said, a man that have told you the truth. Did he tell them the truth? He said, you seek to kill me. He says, which I have heard of Yahweh, this did not Abraham. And they said, they say to him, he says to them, you do the deeds of your father. Does it say that in your book? Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Abba, even Yah. They were born of fornication. They were born of idolatry. They were born of unclean methods. And the birth of our minds have been birthed by unclean, wicked things. It has been a mind that has been shaped by the defiance of the Torah. It has been shaped by idolatry and wickedness and witchcraft. And that's why we perform the things that are witchcraft and wickedness. That's why we accept witchcraft. That's why we are comfortable with witchcraft. That's why we associate with witchcraft and everything that is against Yah. When a man has the mind of Hamashiach, well, Yahshua went among the sinners. Sure, he did. Because Israel was full of sin. And he went among them, but to the lost house of the sheep of Israel, to tell them, thus saith my Abba. Turn from your wickedness. He spoke the word of Yah to them. That's why they sought to kill him. That's why he said to them, you seek to kill me? Because I tell you the truth? You're an adulterous generation. You're birth of an adulterous affair. Come on, even a woman laid down with her own husband, unfaithful in her mind. A man laid down with his own wife, unfaithful in his mind. She brings forth a child. He's thinking about Bereshua. That is an abominable, filthy thing. Not entertaining his wife. His mind outside of there is a vile thing. You entertain anything without the control of Yahshua, you're vile. You're wicked. Hallelujah. See, pure love will never allow man to do that. Pure love will never allow a woman to even think like that. That's just the truth. You all can sit here like hypocrites all day long. I will not take back one word. It's a filthiness. I don't care who it comes out of. David Roberts, Cliff Martin, James F. Flynn, makes no difference. Bill Rady, makes no difference, man. That's vile. That's filthy. His mind is occupied with that. That is the tilt of idolatrous. And that's what this nation does. She put the naked horse before the man. He looks at that because he has no time for his wife, his children. And then when there's time for her, he's thinking about some Jezebel he's never seen, never met, don't even know. Don't even know whether she is a he, she. No, it's right, my brother. She's thinking about something that's not even formable, or that has any association with. Come on. And that's what this fornicating spirit calls you to do. You think on things that are not according to the Torah of Yah, not according to the disciplines of His Torah, so you do them. That's wrong. I ain't backing down for no one. Hallelujah. I ain't backing down for nobody. Now when it comes to this, not this here, you can back me down in other things, but this you won't back me down. I want to close with this. There's much more. Yah's will. I'll return back to this on the Shabbat. He says in Gilgal, Revelation 9:21, Yah says, even though I pour out my wrath upon this wicked generation, he says, neither Teshuvah repented they of their murders, the hatred of brothers and sisters. When you hate your brother and your sister, you love the wicked more than you love them. He says, neither repented they of their murder, nor their witchcraft, their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And this is a generation that don't even repent of it. Can't even see their wickedness of their idolatrous practice. And they don't see it. But a man rejects Yah, there is an unfaithfulness. When one goes, too much is given, much is required. You learn much about Yah, and then you turn away from that. Woe unto you. When you learn, when you understand the principles of Yah, and your heart become hard because of the lust of your own belly and your own wickedness, you turn away. You are a wicked child of hell. That's what Yahshua told them. Your birth of fornication. You're abominable. You're wicked. You of your father, the devil. He sinned from the beginning. This thing is real, brothers and sisters. We think because it's one thing that Yahweh, there's a principle he taught me from day one. And I've always said this, you that have been here, you come on. I would tell the people, if I cut this finger off before I got saved, before Yah saved, when I get saved, does it grow back? No, it doesn't grow back. And there are scars that we bear that affect others because of our rebellion against Yah. You don't sow nothing and think you're not going to reap it. It's coming back. It's coming back. Coming back upon your seed and the seed, and their seed. I see it on my natural sister. Just like her, she was a whore. Her sons are committing whoredom. Babies. And nothing stable there. I had a little whorish cousin to write me. A niece. Well, Uncle David, you did this and that. I said, look, I want to tell you something. First of all, you say you was getting out of the hospital with your baby. I hope you're not doing what all the rest of them are doing. You got a baby out of wedlock. Just like a daddy, isn't she? And I said, I want to tell you something, little girl. To hell with what you say. You will not write me and think you will correct me in anything. I reject what you say. You don't even know me. You may think you know me, but you don't know me. So your words mean nothing. From what I sense of you, you a whore just like all the rest of them. Can I tell you something? She has not written me back. When I finished with that letter, I don't write long letters, but that one was long. So let the little Jezebel know, don't. Who do you think you're dealing with? You may go out there in the world and talk to them like that, but you're not going to talk to me like that. That's one reason I will never let little Sissy Danny come here. He will never, never, never. Come here. I heard the boy talk to his natural daddy like he's a dog. He talks to me. I said, I told, little faggot, you're not going to. You may talk to him like that and he'll let you do it. But I tell you what, faggot, you're not going to talk to me that way. You little coward. Send me some money. Like hell, I send him one penny. You think I would send him some money? I give it to Nate. Nate's my boy. Hallelujah. You think I sent him some money? Crazy people. I almost sent him one dime. Wouldn't even sit down and eat with him. He wouldn't eat, though. Now, folks want to look good. You tell me we can't look good. Well, you're assisted like you were. How can you look nice? Can I come and stay a few days that I won't even answer him? No. I said, I'm not going to even do it with your mom and your daddy. You can't come here. Mama said she'll drop me off and you pick me up. Nah, I don't even want you in my vehicle. Not a little sister spirit like that. Talk to his daddy like that with you. What do you think if I lay my hands on a little punk like that? What do you think he'll do? I don't even trust him. He will never darken these doors. Period. Well, what if he gets right? He ain't going to get right. All right? How about that? He ain't going to get right. There are children birthed for hell. Birth. He's not going to get right. Period. And so I won't let him come here either. Hallelujah. 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 So, Mama, I went to see the old man. I stayed there for about an hour and a half. Told him I got to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was happy. He may not never see me again. Not, come on. I did it. As they would say, come on to service. I have no problem with that. I feed him like he fed us. No swine, though. But I feed him right. Sure will. Sure will. You can't dress like that here now. Hope before you come now. They can't dress like that. They don't come here like that now. All right. Come on. Hallelujah. Never seen him a day in my life. He was a stranger. Hallelujah. I feel sorry for the man, really. You know, I bless you all that he has brought me to this place where he can instruct me. His wife was beautiful to me. I wish some of you all would think, you know, y'all had the kind of spirit that old woman got. Very kind. Very sweet. Very sweet to me. So I called her mother. I liked the old woman. I did. Hallelujah. She's the best gift she could ever had. David coming to see her. Now here's a strange woman. Did she know my mother? She did. Strange young here, 50 some years later, said, my mother said, you're my natural daddy. Well, he couldn't deny it, though. That he could not. Even the daughters that break by said, nah, that, look at that. Couldn't deny that. Well, does give me some kind of momentum or strength? Nah, brothers and sisters, that. I use that for an analogy. I use that as a testimony to tell others here because I've been on my father. I know my Abba. He showers me every day. He says, scoot up. Rise. I know my Abba. My life would have never been. My life is complete. My life is not discombobulated. My life is not dysfunctional. My life is complete. Whether I ever seen him or ever see him again another day, my life is complete. I'd rather have Yahshua than have riches, silver, and gold. I got him. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. Hallelujah. And then he gives me a wife. What more can a man ask for? Hallelujah. No, I don't talk much about wife or my wife. And I don't go pleasing. I'll never forget. I said this before I close. I remember Evangelist Hartsfield. He said to me, I remember Sister Roberts. Come on, she. Of course, Sister Roberts never liked diamonds and all that trash. She really didn't. She said, I don't want that kind of stuff. I said, I want to buy you some pearls. I want to buy this. She said, nah, don't buy me that. She never liked that. She liked pretty dresses, though. And I remember, you know, I would get in the pulpit and say, I bless, you know, of course, you know, we said it back then for my wife, my precious wife. And one day, Evangel Hartsfield, he said, come here, Brother Roberts. He walked in my face. Come here, Brother Rand. He was taller than me, too. Come here. He said, I want to tell you something, brother. I want you to stop that. You hear me? Do whichever. Testify. Sister Roberts, shut your mouth. You hear me? It's my wife, man. He said, I want you to take them sisters home there, okay? You understand? When I took them home, he was wiser than me. I said, I see why. I see why, yeah. He said, you got this young wife, and these sisters have to go home. These, go see where they live. When I went back there and took those sisters home, I was appalled. I was sad. And that's why I never done that. See, you teach a wise man, you instruct a wise man, he becomes wiser, doesn't he? See, even though he even said that. 25 years, he said, I met men twice your age. I don't have what you have, son. I travel the country. He said, I met men 50 years old. They don't have the understanding you have. But when he first said that to me, I'm like, whoa, man, come on. He said, take these sisters home. And it was a mess down there where they live. Babies out of wedlock. It was sad. And I've never just, oh, bless y'all for sisters. You always say what you want to. I've never done that. Hallelujah. It's a very infrequent thing. Because I thought about those sisters. Come on, we got sisters here. I have no husband. I don't talk much about this. Because I know my sister here doesn't have a husband. Do I want a husband? Sure I do. Hallelujah. You hear me talking about things you don't want in a husband. You understand that? It's almost, ain't got far to go now, sister. That's the truth. Some of these men ain't even worth that. That's right. We finding that out. They ain't even worth their weight in spit. Sure. Wife has to make herself ready for it. Come on, sister. You have to make yourself ready. You have to do that. That's just the truth now, I'm telling you. I told the women down there, I'm looking for a wife. If I was single, man, I would marry one of you. No, I would not. I wouldn't marry one. I rebuked them up, down, sideways, and says, I'm leaving. Hallelujah. I'm not playing, brothers and sisters. You can play, but I'm not playing. They want to play down there. They can play all they want to, but they won't play with me. I'm serious about this issue. And I hope they're listening. Ain't nothing special about them. No more than us. But you said some are better. Some are better. Some are. For he killed his brother because they were better. So we destroy others because they're better than us. We don't like the way she is. But you see her. She miss sanctified. That's what they do. And is that right, Mama? One works hard. I'll look at her. Every time you see she's running and running, want to do this and do that, make somebody think, I ain't doing nothing because she's better. That's why you ain't doing it, you lazy cow. Well, he's trying to get some brownie points. You don't know what brownie point. You don't know the value of a brownie point. They buy inheritance. You fool of a man. I will, my brother. And so they denigrate those that are willing because they're better than them. And so they assault them with an assassination, a character assassination. Yeah, his brothers were better than him. They were better. Y'all gave Yisrael just like he's given America what they deserve. That's why he's given you what you deserve too. Hallelujah. Don't take one word back. May Yah barak you. May his strength rest upon Yisrael. Hallelujah. May barak you all. May Yah barak you. Barak you. Come on, sisters. Bless you all that are listening by the live stream. Hallelujah. May the blessings of Yah rest upon you all. May he strengthen you mightily and cause his hava to rest in your bosom. And this is for all of you, our friends and our listeners. We greet you with this song as we close. Shalom, Israel. Come on, young sister, sing with him. May God rock you on this day. Let the word of Yah be the resting place for His truth in your hearts. Greetings from Yahweh's congregation, Yeshua community. We greet you all in the mighty name of Yahshua the Lamb. Come on in, sing with us.
Come, that my love will be the place where I want to be. Come and lay my life, your
home. My yes.
Let us stand to our feet. We barak you, all of our friends. We barak you for your kindness, your blessings, your tremendous support, and all of you all for your works of faith toward the works of Yah here. So this Shabbat, we bless you, our Abba. Bless your people. Watch over us all. Give us safety and protection. We ask it all in Yahshua's mighty name. We are sure that Yahshua is the promise of our redemption. And we take great rejoicing this Shabbaton, this day of time of rest. Yahshua's mighty name. Yisrael cried hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.